Performance Improvement Plan, Children's Community Mental Health Services, and Wraparound Milwaukee.
Hi everyone, I'm Panina Goldfarb, and this is the, I believe I reported on the design of this program at a previous meeting probably a year and a half ago about the Warm Handoff, which was our performance improvement project mandated by Medicaid for 2020. So I'm here to kind of go through it again and discuss the results that came out of it. Next slide, please. So warm handoff is defined as a transfer of care between two members of the healthcare team where the handoff occurs in front of the patient and or family. All right. So next slide, please. So if you look at, looking at this slide, what you see is that we're looking for several things. You have the family, the screener, the care coordinator, and where they intersect is where the warm handoff occurs. And the kind of the content information you can see on the left, where the during a warm handoff there's a transfer of information, prioritizing of initial needs and addressing concerns and questions, and everybody hears that. On the right you see that there's, which actually I think is probably the most essential pieces, is establish a platform for initial positive engagement, raise the comfort level of the family, and ease the professional transfer. So those are all happening during a warm handoff. Next slide, please. These are the three study questions. Study question number one essentially is referring to the care coordinator and how their feelings of engagement with the family is taking place. There were two phases to the study, phase one and phase two. I'll describe that in a minute. The second study question is related to the family's feelings of engagement during the warm handoff. And the last study question is related to the family's disenrollment in the first 90 days. The assumption is that if a family leaves within the first 90 days with the with an identification that they are leaving because they no longer want services or they are unable to locate them, the assumption is that there's some issues related to engagement. And so we wanted to see an improvement in the percentage of youth that stay in the program or the percentage of youth that reduction of the number of disenrollments occurring in the first 90 days. Next slide. So the research design, as you can see, is essentially two phases. Phase one, which was a three-way phone handoff, and phase two, which initially was going to be a three-way face-to-face, which it still was, but the initial design pre-COVID was that it would be a face-to-face in person, and that was modified to be face-to-face on some electronic device, a Zoom call on a phone or on a computer. There was a sub-study done to determine how many families had that availability. And it was found that about 73% had that availability to use a remote kind of virtual face-to-face contact. In the end, 93% had that capability for the actual study. So you can see that there were a control group and an experimental group for each family going across phase one and phase two. Okay, next slide. What was always critical for me when I do these studies is what is our response rate? It is one of our biggest challenges. Over time we've learned we have learned that that having personal phone calls helps, that using surveys, sending them out, that kind of thing does not work very well. And as you can see in the, sorry, I wish I could point to this, as you can see in the care coordinate, in the phase two experimental group, that the response rate actually went up significantly for families. My assumption is that once they had a face-to-face hand-warm handoff, they were able, that kind of got them invested into the idea of following through with the survey afterwards. Even though they were all mentioned in every one of these conditions, this one shows that this warm handoff had an impact, in fact, on how well they proceeded to follow through with the survey itself. Next slide, please. So the families, as well as the care coordinators, took an engagement survey, which was virtually identical, asking the same content in the control group and in the experimental groups. And this is essentially the results of the engagement surveys. As you can see with the care coordinators, which is the graph on the right, in phase one, which is the blue, that there was a although there was a little bit of increase, 4.23 to 4.32, it was not significant. It was like a 2.2% increase over time between the control group and the experimental group. And in phase two, there actually was a little bit of a decrease. Again, not significant. It was like a decrease of 2.8, I believe. When we looked at the families, however, what we see is that there was an impact in terms of at least how they answered the engagement survey. So you can see in the control group, the families went from, there was a decrease from 4.66 to 4.52 in the phase one, but a over 5% increase in their response to the engagement survey in the experimental group from 4.6 to 4.76. This suggests that that the level of engagement, although it did not meet the threshold criteria, it did meet the threshold identified for phase one, which is greater than 5%. And suggested that the increased engagement by families who experienced a face-to-face warm handoff had meaning. You'll see as we go through that the phone three-way conversation did not have any impact at all, which helps us understand how to conduct, began to help us understand how to conduct the a warm handoff if we choose to do it in the future. Next slide.
Can I ask?
Yes.
I'm intrigued by what you just said, Penina. Would you be willing to describe, be a little more descriptive about what you see as the, what are the qualities that families are looking for?
So if you, in the next couple of slides, I'll go back to your question because I'll show you the survey itself.
Okay.
Be able to see it. So then what I did is I looked at the comparison of phase one to phase two for comparing the control, the care coordinators with the families. And as you can see, interestingly enough, that through the phases, the same, if you look at the graph on the left, the phases, phase one and phase two, for families and care coordinators were identical, absolutely identical. They went down, they went down from phase one to phase two. But when you look at the comparison of the experimental groups, clearly you can see that the care coordinators continued to go down, but the families' engagement went up. Mm. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And we can talk about why the care coordinators went down. I have some hypotheses. I did a little more in depth. I did some focus groups. You'll see that in a minute. That gave us some insight into why this dynamic was occurring. Next slide, please. So this is actually the a sample of the survey itself, which is virtually identical. This is the family one. This is the care coordinator one. I feel the family listened to me. I feel respected by the family. I feel that the family has a strong commitment to staying in the program. I feel optimistic, hopeful about, and positive about the growth that will be made. I feel that I've heard and understood my family's story, and I feel that I will be able to work and partner with my family. So those were the questions, and I've categorized them in a minute, Rachel. I will show you how they were categorized as well. Next slide. So these are kind of the dimensions of engagement that the literature shows these types of engagement: emotional engagement, physical engagement, and spiritual engagement. And these questions that you just saw in the previous slide address these different kind of buckets of engagement. Respect and enthusiasm is a kind of an emotional engagement. Physical engagement is, am I listening? Do I understand? And the spiritual engagement is kind of like the hope for meaningful outcomes. Next slide. Rachel, does that help, by the way?
It does, but can I ask one more question, please? So the physical engagement listens and understands. Was there ever the criterion follows up, is consistent in response with regard to listening and understanding? Was there an expectation and a value placed on action, on responding to? It seems to me that's missing. And I'm wondering if that's included. Because, I mean, to listen and understand is very valuable, but then what about a response?
So you have to, if I'm understanding your question, I think you have to see, you have to understand that this is at the very beginning of the program. They are getting this engagement survey right either 6 days after they...
Oh, I see.
Right, it's not into the program, right? So they're getting it at 6 days. The control group gets it at 6 days because they, by guidelines, they should have connected with the families by day five, and the experimental group also took it at day six, and they had 48 hours essentially to connect with the families. So it was in the very beginning. So
thank you.
Later we would get to that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So if you look at these, I kind of did a little deeper dive into a question analysis of the engagement surveys of the families. And what you see here, phase one, you know, very, very, very little difference. And I think that was true for the care coordinators as well as the families, that the phone call, even though it's a three-way phone call, did seem, continued to be a bit distant. When they had the contact with on a virtual platform, you began to see that the difference in the families. You see, I feel listened to I'm saying significantly, none of these data points are statistically significant, but you see a difference between in some of these questions when you analyze them. So feeling listened to, feeling respected, feeling excited, enthusiastic, seem to have the greatest impact in terms of the warm handoff and how people felt. Less so were things like, which I thought was pretty interesting, I feel optimistic and hopeful that positive growth will be made. I feel the care coordinator has heard and understands me. Again, it's a little bit, my interpretation of that is that we are talking about that piece of engagement that has to do with hope, okay, and that they can, that is something that they're not ready to commit to in terms of, oh, I really feel that this is going to make a difference. I think they can only respond to what they are feeling here and now. Next slide, please.
Question?
Yes.
On the phase two, that was on a face-to-face platform, correct?
Correct.
So I feel that my care coordinator has understood my family and story. There was the visual, so is there the potential then that body language was read into this?
I would hope so, right? You know,
okay.
Because the more we have contact with, I would certainly explain that it's part of the reason why, you know, if you don't see the face of the person you're speaking with, even though you're transferring, doing a warm handoff, I would imagine that people are not as connected. Right.
Okay. Right.
If we look at the analysis for the engagement of the care coordinator, you see that, interestingly enough, you see that these ideas of, they're actually in phase two, they're virtually the same for the control and for the experimental groups. In phase one, it's a little more diversification of response. But in phase two, interestingly, I think that either care coordinators feel like they've been doing this a long time the way they've been doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have confidence in what they're doing. And so when they go ahead and filled out the engagement surveys, that you can see that they have a strong commitment to, they believe their families are going to move forward, and no matter if they're in the control and experimental, and it's amazing that how identical this is across the board for care coordinators.
Okay.
Next slide. This is kind of a summary chart of percent of change, and you can see here I've highlighted, colored in, where you can see positive change, and you can see that there was, and if you go back to the other graphs, you'll see it in a different format, but there was a percent of change between the control phase one and experimental care coordinator one, and then here is the most dramatic one, the control of family, phase two family to the experimental phase two family, and here's where you get the biggest amount of change, and you saw that in the previous slides as well. And the only other place where you see change that is positive change is with the phase one experimental to phase two phase one experimental family to phase two experimental family, you get a 3.42 positive change. Next slide. I, in particular, would have felt, although it wasn't in the initial design, I felt it was really important to start talking to both the care coordinators and the screeners. And I would have loved to speak to the families as well. That in itself, because they had nothing to compare it to, these were all new enrollees, their information about looking about which approach would not have been particularly helpful. But looking at I did do two focus groups with care coordinators and a focus group with screeners, which are the other two parties, and you can see some of their comments some of their comments here in terms of what they saw the strengths were, what they saw the challenges were, what engagement looked like, and the delivery of the warm handoff was really, really important. What was really interesting in this is that the newer care coordinators seemed to like the warm handoff a lot, while the care coordinators that have been doing it historically and they're comfortable with what they're doing probably were not as impressed with the warm handoff approach. But the new care coordinators kind of expressed a sense of relief that someone was helping them navigate in the beginning all this information, introduce them to the families. It raised a level of comfort that I think was notable. I think the care coordinators felt that there was a little bit of an added for those that were more experienced. Felt that there was an unnecessary burden with the warm handoff. Both screeners and care coordinators felt that moving to a actual face-to-face would be untenable, that they would not be able to coordinate, that it would take so long to coordinate three people in the same place initially when the work needed to get done right away was not going to work for them. What's important here, what I thought was really important, is that I did give guidelines to the screeners and the care coordinators of how to, very broad guidelines on how to do a warm handoff. It was simply, you know, you're going to introduce the family, you're going to highlight some of these needs, you're going to kind of essentially back out of it so it transfers from the screener to the care coordinator in one meeting. But it was a really broad framework, and interesting how it was interpreted by the screeners. They did a whole lot of different things. Some of them went ahead and gave great detail. Some of them just highlighted the main points and obvious needs that families had. Some they were concerned how long they were, and they felt that it was important to ask families that they wanted a warm handoff. So there was this concept of, we need to individualize this. Next slide.
Panina, I have a question. This is Brenda Wesley. Do you think that the bottom line here is that how I trust you, I trust what you're saying and what we're doing? Don't you think, did you get a sense of any of this, is that trust is such a big factor, whether you do a warm handoff or trusting the care coordinator, the families being able to trust someone?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The question is how quickly can trust be built? What all the literature on engagement suggests the following: suggests that engagement is not established once, but it's established and reestablished and established again throughout the process. So with that, trust, you know, you have to prove trust. So trust comes across with time. Right now, the only trust that was evident was the trust that we can transfer, that the information that's being transferred is there's an element of transparency, there's an opportunity to clarify. All that takes place within the warm handoff, you know, or within the control group. But I think the sense is that, well, you'll see what the conclusion is here, but the sense is that the warm handoff has great viability, but it depends on how you're doing it.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. So in response to the family dropout rate, this actually showed that the family dropout rate with phase one as well as phase two was significant. It decreased significantly from the control to the experimental, with a 71% decrease of dropout rate, a 33% decrease in dropout rate. I also did a baseline dropout rate, which was 12-point-something%, which is much higher than either of the, well, no, no, the control in phase one is 14%. That was in for 2019. Out of that group of the dropout rate, there was 12% overall dropout rate, the decrease, overall decrease from the baseline to the average dropout rate here for all the different phases was 78%. So the feeling was for me is that that is really, really high. And remember, I ran this during COVID. And so I think the variables that were out there that contributed to the dropout rate were significant, really significant. Lots was playing was in play besides this study on the warm handoff. But it does show that the dropout rate does decrease when you have a warm handoff. This was not in the initial study, I wanted to see the average number of days from enrollment to the first contact. I think that engagement is critical. We all know that. It's kind of self-evident that the sooner you can contact and begin to establish a relationship with a family, the better it is. The baseline was 4 days. By our guidelines, I believe you have to do it within 5 days. But so 4 days was good. But what we saw here is that the control group in phase, the experimental group, and this is the phase two, I can barely see it, that what we see is that the first contact time decreased from phase one to phase two, and with the control group, and as well as, and even more so with the experimental group, 1.54 days in phase one and 2.03 in phase two. So you began to see that the contact time is quicker. Okay, next slide. Okay. This is building ongoing relationship with youth and families. So this is kind of shows what occurs. Warm handoff, there's engagement, there's immediate contact with the youth and the family, there's further growth of engagement, and ongoing enrollment for more than 90 days. Next slide, please. So there's connection between time to the first contact, engagement, and then retention. Next slide. And what these were the lessons we learned, that we have to address engagement. It's important to do so. That I think that the data does show that warm handoff does contribute for families at least some increased engagement. That based on the focus groups, we need to consider individualizing it a little bit. They spoke to some families that their needs are so high that they just need to get into services really quickly. They're really anxious. That is perhaps not the point in which to do a warm handoff. Or the opposite, depending on the family, and it becomes a clinical decision. We consider delivery. How we do delivery, I think we have to think about what the structure and format of delivery would look like. Each screener did it slightly different. And actually, that's probably a strength, not a weakness by any means, but that we could probably put some more structure. So, for example, we learned that going through reviewing the entire screening a second time in front of the families is not what you want to do. But highlighting what the needs are or asking the family to identify the needs together with the screener and the care coordinator may be the, a guideline that would be helpful. So we have to consider our delivery and kind of create a more built out delivery system, but yet allowing some flexibility and individualization within that for the screener and how they do business, and for the family and what their needs are and what they would like to have. We're considering institutional change, right? It needs to come from wraparound if we're going to do this. This is a big step, and considering ongoing assessment and monitoring as a change in the program. Sorry about the length of that. That's it. Any questions?
So as a result of the performance improvement project, what is happening?
What is happening right now is, I think there's been an agreement, I think there's an agreement that there is a strong reason to consider a change model to using a warm handoff. We already do it with our core program, and there's been, which actually was the impetus for us doing this on a broader basis with Reach, because they found it very, very helpful. I think there's a bit of resistance always for change. And so where we are now is we have come together and agreed that we are going to do it. And we are beginning to look at, we're bringing in more people now to discuss all the dimensions that I mentioned before. What's the delivery system going to be? Can we balance the benefits with the labor intensity of it? For example, as I mentioned before, having a face to face and coordinating three groups of people to do this is probably not going to work. But using a virtual platform, something that I wouldn't have done initially in this project, turns out that it might be the best way to do it. So I'm going to be bringing more people in that are on the ground working it to have input into it, but I think that's where we're headed.
I have to say, from personal experience of being somebody that receives CCS services, that I found in situations that having a warm handoff is beneficial.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
That's my personal experience, so
yeah.
For what that's worth.
This is Brenda. I think it's all interconnected when I was talking about even with disenrollment and the trust factor and how do we get families more engaged and trusting and the follow through. I mean, I think it's all like interconnected of understanding that we're dealing with people and not robots. And and how do we get them engaged the best way possible? Because then I think that says a lot about the future and the quality of care and if someone's going to go into a major crisis or whatever. So again, I think it's all interconnected.
And I agree with you completely. I also think it's very, engagement is not a singular word. It's a multidimensional piece that I've been learning over time as I've been working and studying it. And so that makes it very important and very challenging simultaneously.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's last minute. Any follow-up questions?
Not for me, but thank you.
Okay, Fina, thank you very much.